You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, look who's here. America's analyst, Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst. But for our show on Sportsmanlike, he can analyze anything at any time, and he hangs out with us. I want you to weigh in on a conversation we were just having. We got into a brawl about Virginia, right? Yeah. CeCe went there. Tony Bennett is my favorite college basketball coach, having gone to Wisconsin, familiar with his dad, etc. And Pat Costello back in our studio said, well, you can't say this is a good program anymore. And the three of us are saying, okay, give me a five-year stretch where I lose in the first round for all 4 years, but win a title for a team like that, and we'd sign up for it. Would you?
Probably, but at the same time, like, to lose to, you know, the losses, right? A couple of the losses are just, like, inexcusable.
Yeah.
Right? There's just – it's hard to get past that when it's that bad. When you're a much higher seed and you lose in the first round, that's a little bit different. But to trade all that in for one national championship, I think just about almost any program in the country would probably take that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's redemption after we lost to UMBC, coming back and winning the whole damn thing. Like, we're still basking in the glow of that because, as you mentioned, it's Virginia. We'll take a title in any record-producing sport.
Oh, my gosh. No, I would take that deal. I wouldn't even think twice about it. Where do I sign? Yeah. I went to Illinois, so I'm still heartbroken over 2005, that North Carolina national championship. So the fact that I could guarantee a title, even if I had to suffer and be bad for years after that, I would take that hand.
Now, especially for a program like Illinois that's pretty much always good. Mm-hmm. They're always in the mix, but they're not ever getting it done, like going all the way, you know, even though they've had really good teams. So I get it. I think people at LaSalle would probably take that too.
Oh, you think?
I think they would take that.
Yeah. All right, let's talk NBA. Last night we had a game between Minnesota and Denver. Unfortunately, it was not the kind of game necessarily that was like massive stage because of the injuries, all the bigs with Minnesota. I've kind of taken that approach of, whatever, I can't read too much into it. CeCe's saying, well, maybe you should glass half full Minnesota. Look what they did against Denver without their big guys. What says you on that
one? I think there's something to be said for both sides of the argument. There's no doubt that to me, is a confidence-building game for Minnesota. To play that way, to have a lead in the fourth quarter, playing without three centers, all three of whom are like highly productive players eat up a lot of minutes. You're not talking about some end-of-the-bench type guys. These are impactful guys, and you need size against Denver. They didn't have any, and yet they have a lead in the fourth quarter. Now, having said that, when Denver got serious in the fourth quarter, the precision and the shot making when they had to have it shows you like what they're about. No team guarantees quality possessions in close games more than the Denver Nuggets do. Even Boston, nobody. And that's why when I watch Denver play more and more as we get deeper into the season, I think, man, these guys are probably going to win the whole thing again, despite the year that Boston's had. So yes, it's great for Minnesota to hang with them, but when it was time to like, okay, timeout, go down three, come out of the timeout, and it's just one big shot after another by Michael Porter Jr. and Jokic pretty much.
Yeah, it's not going to work out when you have Jaden McDaniels trying to guard Jokic. It's just probably not going to be great. But I'm just asking, at full strength, I mean, based on what they bring to the party, like if you got KAT, if you got Rudy Gobert, if you got Naz Reid, I mean, of the teams in the Western Conference that could be challengers for the Nuggets, are the T-Wolves about as good as anybody in terms of how this roster is constructed in order to compete with Denver?
They're probably at the top of the list if they're fully healthy, in my opinion, because of the size that you're going to have to play against Jokic and the number of different guys that can run at him. And here's the other thing. If you'd asked me that question 2 months ago and they were fully healthy, I wouldn't have said Minnesota because I didn't think Anthony Edwards had the polish in his game and the finesse and the maturity and the decision-making to, like, end things and, you know, be that guy in a big moment. He's really grown up a lot over the last couple of months. Where I trust him now. I trust that he's going to get what he wants when he wants it. I think last year, first half of this year, he would settle for a shot trying to, like, get the home run ball on a big possession. Yeah. A step back three that was not in his wheelhouse. Now he'll counter move if you cut him off, and he'll get to a spot on the floor at 18 feet elevate and take a much higher percentage shot. So I trust him a lot more in late game situations, and they have the size up front that it's going to take to play against Aaron Gordon and to play against Jokic.
Tim, we've got the Bucks versus the Celtics, 7:30 tonight here on ESPN. Boston looking for their seventh straight win, but I want to focus on Milwaukee. What are you looking for in the Bucks as we close out the regular season, as we head into the playoffs? What do you need to see from them?
It's totally an energy and a focus and a connectivity defensively that they have not had most of the year. It's been better over the last few weeks. You know, Doc came in to clean a lot of that up, and at first the results weren't there, and it's impossible to kind of change that on the fly as a head coach. They have so many things ingrained since September, the way they're doing things. You come in as a coach, it's even harder as a coach than a player to have an impact right away. So I was going to be patient with it. They've been better. I still think it's going to take even more to play against a team like Boston. And look, that's their measuring stick. Nothing else matters to the Bucks except comparing them to the Celtics. Mm-hmm. That's why this game is so important for Milwaukee, to prove that they can slow down that buzzsaw. Because when Boston gets going and they get clicking and they're moving the ball with all those three-point shooters, like there's just so much separation in games, you can't recover from it. Milwaukee needs to prove that they can prevent that, and defensively that they can hang with that team, and that's what I'm looking for tonight.
Legs, I think that the Bucks narrative is kind of crazy in my mind, because I think it's just if Middleton's healthy. Like, I don't think people realize how good that guy is in those moments. And not better than Giannis or Dame. I just think in those moments, if he's there, like, they're a different team.
They are. The only thing I'll say about that is this. There's a difference between, like, healthy, right, and feeling great and being the same player you used to be. Because I think Chris Middleton has lost something with all of these injuries. So even if he comes back and he's out there and he has no minutes restriction and you say, hey, he's healthy, that doesn't mean he's the same guy that he was when they won a championship. I just don't think he's quite as impactful defensively. He's lost a little bit laterally because he was like a legitimate 6'8 wing defender that could guard just about anybody. He's lost a little bit of that. He gives guys more cushion now. He's more susceptible to guys shooting pull-up jumpers in his face than he used to be. He's not quite as good and consistent offensively. He's still a very good player. He's not where he was because of the cumulative toll of all of those injuries. So I do think that when you compare them to Boston, I do think that they've got an issue just matching their firepower in a seven-game series. But it does look like that's where we're headed in the Eastern Conference Finals. I would assume that that's what we're going to get, that matchup, if both teams don't have any significant injuries the rest of the way.
Tim, I know he's probably not going to win it, but should we be talking about Jalen Brunson as an MVP?
To me, he should get votes. I don't know what that means. Will he end up in the top five? He could. I mean, I think Embiid going down kind of opened the door for a lot of people. Because then it was wide open. Yeah. I think Jokic probably is in the lead right now. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably going to finish second. After that, Luka's going to be in there getting some votes. Brunson's going to get some votes. And some of it could determine on how these teams close the season. You know, the Knicks win, 10 out of 12 to end the year, and Brunson is getting 30 every night. It's like fresh in your memory to make that vote. Same thing with Luka. If the Mavericks continue to play as well as they are right now, and he's getting these 30-point triple-doubles like nightly, it's fresh in your mind to make that vote. Because I think Embiid had it. He had the award in his hands when he got hurt. And now I think Jokic is like slightly ahead of the pack, and he's probably going to hold on to it. But there are definitely room in there for other guys. Tatum's going to get some votes. Like, those guys are going to get the rest of those votes, but I think Jokic will win it.
Tim, has your opinion of Jalen Brunson changed over the last couple of years since he's been with the Knicks?
I've said this before. I've never, ever missed the ceiling on a player as much as I have Jalen Brunson when he was coming out of Villanova. I've never.
Really?
And I didn't think the guy was, like, G League bound. I thought that he's going to be a nice backup point guard on a good team or a starting point guard on a mediocre to bad team, and maybe cap out at about 16, 17 a game. Like, that's who I thought Jalen Brunson was going to be, and I saw him so much in college because I just didn't know how that level of athletic ability translated to the NBA. So what he has shown is what footwork, strength, IQ, and being built for the moment, those four qualities, that's what you get. That's what you're looking at right now. So no question, I was completely off on Jalen Brunson, and he is a legitimate superstar. He is.
Really?
I believe that he is.
Wow.
I believe he controls a game, not on a level of a Jokic or a Luka, because they're like one and two, or even a LeBron when he's focused in and it's playoff time. But he's on that next level in terms of just controlling possession by possession and not being able to affect him defensively. He goes wherever he needs to go, whenever he needs to get there, and There is no shot under any circumstance that he's afraid of.
Not to make this a Knicks-centric segment with you, but I got to ask this question as a follow-up because it's fascinating what you're saying. Do you believe that the Knicks can be a title contender with Jalen Brunson as a top two player on their team?
Yeah, I do. As a top two player? Yes.
Top two player.
If he is your best player, like they can't go out and add one big-time free agent, like a big-time wing, right? That's a 20 to 25 point per game scorer. Yeah. If they can't add that, they're going to be a team that's going to be in the mix every year. Maybe they'll be a conference finalist type team, but breaking through, probably not. Probably not.
Is there somebody in particular that you would like to add to that equation? Is there a name you're thinking about when you describe that person?
They get in that mix every year. I mean, the guy that I think would elevate them tremendously would be a guy like Donovan Mitchell, right? I mean, that rumor's come up before. I can't see Donovan Mitchell staying in Cleveland his entire career.
Do you think that's the guy?
I mean, he
love Donovan Mitchell, but isn't he duplication with Jalen Brunson a little bit? Small guard, offensive first.
I don't know, man. In the fact that they can get their own shot and they score and they're like shot hunting guards, yes, but they don't have an element like that playing opposite Jalen Brunson. The pressure that would take off of him to have another guy that's capable of going getting that offense, that's what they're every year the Knicks hunt that kind of player, and they've been kind of striking out on getting that kind of player. They got their point guard. Now you need to add a wing to go with what you have at the forward spot in Randall. And they've got more than serviceable bigs.
All right, Legs, let me ask you about a team that I don't know that we've ever mentioned on our show in the 6 months we've done the show, but it's really to talk about another two teams. The Houston Rockets have won 6 games in a row. Could they surpass the Lakers or the Warriors in the play-in?
Sure, could they?
Sorry, CC.
They probably ran out of time. I mean, it may be a little bit late for that. Ultimately, I wouldn't bet on that happening. But they've been entertaining to watch all year. The one thing that immediately stood out, that roster has no business being as good as they are in terms of their record.
33-35.
Yeah, there's just no way that's a close to .500 roster. And so it speaks to they're athletic, they're versatile, and they play hard as hell every single night. So now they've made it interesting here over the last few weeks, like to at least make those teams feel something breathing down their neck a little bit, because it looked like, okay, no one's catching those teams. How is the play-in gonna end up? Like, who are the four teams, and what's the order, and who's playing who? And you're going to end up with four superstars potentially in the play-in tournament, which would be pretty fascinating. And the Rockets at least are making those teams think about it. You're going to have to finish this thing strong maybe to hold them off.
Legs, what are the New Orleans Pelicans?
I would say they're the most unheralded threat. Legitimate threat in the league. They get absolutely no attention. No one ever talks about them because there's all these other storylines we're constantly following. Even sometimes when they're bad teams, we're forced to follow these storylines and they don't get any attention. But what they are is a team that's got all three areas of the floor covered. They check all the boxes. They got elite level point guard play. They've got elite level wing scorer. And then they've got this dominant power player, even though it's a little bit different in that package, 6'7", built like that. But he is a power player that can dominate the paint. They've got every area of the floor covered, a bunch of role players that play hard, elite level defenders at other spots. They are a legitimate threat in the West, a dark horse threat.
Okay.
What it comes down to is, and I think I said this yesterday, like I could make an argument for any of those teams to end up in the conference finals. Avoid Denver's bracket and you've got a chance. All those teams have a chance to win two rounds and be the team that's the last one standing against the Denver Nuggets. I believe that. There's 5 or 6 teams I can make the argument for. You just have to avoid. But the problem is you don't know where Denver's going to end up right now. It's not like the East.
You know they're trying to get that number one seed.
Of course they are.
Yeah,
Jokic
is playing damn near 40 minutes a night.
I know, but they could end up third. And yeah. if you're a team that you get that 6th spot, you avoid the play-in, you're feeling great about that, and Denver falls to third, you got them in the first round. You're going home.
Tim Legler, America's analyst, ESPN NBA analyst, give him anything. You see him on the street, give him a topic, he'll start to analyze it immediately. He'll be on Get Up, First Take all day today. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
2-1 Padres, bottom seven, Soul Series right now. We had the Dodgers money line. We had, what else, CC?
We had Yu Darvish over 4.5 hits allowed. That went bust because he didn't even make it out of the fourth inning. And then we had Tyler Glass now over 5.5 strikeouts. Yeah, let's just say that didn't work out either. So we went bust. When it came to our play of the day, we can't even call it play of the night because it's morning baseball. But not to worry, because I do have a play of the night that's going to help you make back some of that cash.
Yeah, we were workshopping it in
the
break.
I was doing the money dance. I was doing the money dance during the break. I was doing the money dance.
So stay tuned.
Let's go. Stay tuned.
By the way, one other quick thing on NBA-wise. Why we were talking about MVP with legs. Why are we not throwing your guy Anthony Edwards in there? He's played the number of games, 66. You need to play 65 or more. Mm-hmm. If they're the one seed in the West, potentially, and they have injuries to their second and third best player right now in Cat and Gobert, and they're coming down the home stretch without them, mm-hmm. I mean, why are we not throwing him in the mix? You love him.
No, I do love him. I do love him. I thought what's understood ain't got to be said, though, because we did mention him off the top, and I thought Legs was including other players.
Okay, we are including him in that. Okay,
yeah, he deserves to be. Yeah, I mean, if the T-Wolves end up with the number one seed.
Yeah, well, he has to
be. Knowing
that
you had Gobert and KAT out for an extended period of time in the second half, then yeah, he's absolutely going to be in the conversation.
For sure. He's definitely in the mix.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure. All right, yesterday, big news in the biggest news in the NFL were the Jets move that they signed Mike Williams 1 year and up to $15 million. That's the wide receiver that comes over from the Chargers. If you look at what the Jets did this or have done this offseason so far, they have brought in Mike Williams. They have brought in Tyrod Taylor as a backup quarterback, which obviously, based on last year, we know that they needed a vet backup there. And certainly, that man is a professional quarterback in this league, and he's been so for a decade plus. Tyron Smith, the big offensive tackle from the Cowboys. They've made a lot of good moves that make sense based on the roster they have. And we've sat here and we've talked about quarterbacks like Russell Wilson, who, you know what, if he doesn't perform well, maybe this is his last chance of being a starter. And in the case of Russ, we've even thrown out there the idea of last chance in the NFL. Well, the Jets seem pretty good. I mean, Kimberly Martin sat here with us 45 minutes ago and said they could maybe win the division. Mm-hmm. How do we feel about that, guys?
They have a lot of talent on this team. And if Aaron Rodgers can come in and be even 50% of the Aaron Rodgers we've seen out on the football field, why wouldn't I think that the Jets could compete? Just because they're the Jets going against the laundry and against what we know to be very Jets-like and the fact that they can't put it together even despite having a lot of talent. But if you just look on at it based on the names on the roster, it feels like they should have a pretty good shot at least competing for the division.
Absolutely. And if they're not competing for the division, if they don't get into the playoffs, I have serious doubts that Aaron Rodgers is going to be in the National Football League next year. Because who's going to want to have to deal with all of that baggage for a quarterback with this kind of talent around him on both sides of the ball that can't actually elevate the team when they need to in order to get into the tournament? Like, the juice is not worth the squeeze at that point. So I guess that's how I'm looking at the New York Jets. And I think there's more pressure on Aaron Rodgers than we've seen in quite some time in order to deliver.
Now, this is the kind of year that, in theory, if he can still do it and he's focused primarily on football, that he would be good, right? The chip on the shoulder.
Focus primarily on football. That's a big if.
I mean, isn't that an important preface?
Yeah.
With what we've heard recently?
No doubt.
So, the chip on the shoulder years are usually his best. I mean, Brian Gutekunst, who has done a phenomenal job as Green Bay Packers general manager, drafts Jordan Love. He wins back-to-back MVPs. Yeah. Chip on shoulder, right? People like CeCe, who know this game inside and out better than anyone, is saying, hey, you better perform this year or at 41 years old with the other stuff and the requirements of bringing Nathaniel Hackett and all these things, teams ain't going to line up for you. Those are usually the years he performs well. Mm-hmm. But division title would mean they're surpassing Buffalo.
Josh Allen and company. They're surpassing Miami, who probably took a step back in the offseason based on the commitment to Tua, and hopefully for them, or they want to get that deal done. Division title strong.
It's strong. I mean, but here's the thing. That has to be the goal, though, when you consider how deep the AFC is. Think about it. I mean, all of those teams in the AFC North finished with winning records last year, and they're all seemingly poised to be better this year. Like, think about that. So there are those teams. You got Houston and Jacksonville in the AFC South. And then, of course, the AFC West, where you've got the Chargers and you've got the Kansas City Chiefs. So, I mean, if you don't win your division, I don't know that you're getting into the playoffs as a wild card.
Which All right, you just said something fascinating.
Go ahead.
If we relate it to NCAA tournament, right, fill out they go to the Tournament Challenge app, fill it out with us, men's and women's. We talk about one-bid leagues. What you're saying is the AFC East is a one-bid league this year.
No doubt.
Now, don't expect two teams to get in.
No.
Right now, expect one, so it's division title or bust.
Yes.
I think you're probably right about that. I don't think you could look at them as a multi-bid league, so to speak, if you know, because, I mean, is it ridiculous to think the entire AFC North can get in the playoffs?
No.
We talked about it last year.
I mean,
think about it. Even with Joe Burrow being hurt, they were competitive.
They were 9-8.
Jake Browning as their quarterback.
They were 9-8 without Joe Burrow.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals are a team that's going to always have to be dealt with. The Pittsburgh Steelers should be better because their quarterback room is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Ravens, they ain't going nowhere. They added Derrick Henry.
Yeah, they're definitely not going anywhere.
I mean, the Cleveland Browns still have one of the best defenses in all of football. Yeah. So.
And did we mention the Chargers? Maybe we didn't.
We did mention the Chargers.
I mean, that's
in the AFC West.
Yeah, he Harbaugh doesn't lose.
No,
there's no evidence of him not being good.
No,
ever
at any level. He's never had a losing season.
He's never been bad.
So,
yeah, it's a one bid league. That's what we're looking at with the AFC East. But
looking at the talent of the Jets,
yeah.
Don't you think that just based on the roster that they should be able to compete for that?
Yes, Smalls. But okay, now let's do it this way. Looking at the roster of the Bills, don't you think they should be able to compete for that? Looking at the belief the Dolphins have in their quarterback, don't you think they should be able to compete for that? I'm not going to put the Patriots in there, obviously. But there are three teams that probably operate that way. And what CeCe's saying is cool because two of them won't get in.
But yeah. I guess my biggest issue with the New York Jets is, based on what they've done this offseason, what are my two biggest questions about this team? The quarterback and the head coach. That's it. They've eliminated all the other questions, so credit to Joe Douglas for being able to do that. All right, our offensive line was trash last year. Mekhi Becton, AVT, both of those guys were hurt. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out and get three new starters to go along with the guy that we got playing center that we took in the second round from Wisconsin, your school, and then AVT coming back. We should have a good offensive line. We should have a solid skill position core with Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and Mike Williams. We should have a championship-level defense that has all pro players on every single level. What's the biggest question that you got? The biggest question that you got is the quarterback when it comes to the players on the field. And the biggest question overall is between him and the head coach.
And Smalls, you were sick over the weekend and you spent 10 hours watching a documentary about a dynasty that focused on the quarterback and the coach. The two most important positions.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why there's got to be a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers to deliver. They've gone all in with this dude. It didn't work out year one. It went off the rails four snaps into the season. They doubled down on it
right
this offseason. Now is the time for him to deliver. Because if eight doesn't get this team to the playoffs, then it's not worth it. This was a win-now move.
Oh, yeah.
It was a win-now move. Before all of these other players that you got, these young guys get more expensive because that's what's going to happen with Garrett Wilson. You already had to pay Quinnen Williams. I mean, that's what's going to happen with Sauce Gardner. These guys are going to get exponentially more expensive. You have to win now. If Aaron Rodgers can't deliver that in 2024, then what the hell good is it?
So the window's this year, basically.
The window is this year. The window is this year. Here's the thing, Smalls. If they don't get to the playoffs, how can I bank on 2025 being markedly better when we're talking about Rodgers going into his age 42 season?
You can't.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority.
Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
ESPN's own Brian Windhorst, who we love, is from the Cleveland area. And a couple of summers ago, during free agency in the NBA, he coined the, why would they do that?
So good.
Right? Why would they do that? And get his podcast, Hoop Collective, Bontemps McMahon, it's phenomenal, ESPN app. Let's stay in his hometown of Cleveland. We are all fascinated by this Cleveland Browns quarterback situation, them bringing in Tyler Huntley to join Jameis Winston, to join Deshaun Watson. So I ask you, why would they do that? What's going on in Cleveland right now?
No, you had a quarterback who has an extensive injury history, and he had surgery on his throwing shoulder, which prematurely ended his 2023 campaign. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, this is a guy that you're pot committed to for the next 3 years. So yeah, they needed to bring in insurance options. And I don't think they looked at it as just a one-player solution. That's why they went out and got Jameis, but they also went out and invested in Tyler Huntley. They already have DTR on the roster. Here's the thing, man. I think there's a world that exists where Cleveland could actually consider carrying four quarterbacks in some capacity. Now, if it ends up being three guys on active roster and one on the practice squad, some kind of combination of that. But I just think that they are hedging against what we all have seen as an inevitability over the last several years, which is Deshaun Watson missing an extensive portion of the season.
Yeah, and not only is he recovering from injury, but when he was healthy last season, save from one good half of football, you didn't really see a whole lot from Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And they, I think, are probably looking at the situation last year where they did have so many quarterbacks that they had to cycle through, and they want to make sure that they have that insurance policy this year.
Do we think that the Deshaun Watson injury may be the most undertold story of the offseason so far? Because we think about how good that team theoretically could be. They were in the playoffs last year with five starting quarterbacks. They go out there. Their coach is so confident, Kevin Stefanski, understandably so, in his status with the team, mm-hmm. that he brings in Mike Vrabel, who's one we thought was one of the best coaches in the NFL as a consultant or whatever it may be in his role there. And we've talked about Deshaun Watson off the field, obviously. We've talked about Deshaun Watson in terms of, is he good? We haven't talked as much about, is he healthy? Right? Is he 100% ready to go? I don't know that there is another storyline at the most important position in the sport that may be Smalls as undertold as this one this offseason so far.
No, that's a good point. We really haven't discussed it, even though the Browns have been making these moves and adding to their quarterback room. And I think part of that is because he hasn't been good. So we haven't discussed it because he hasn't been top of mind. But I wouldn't be surprised if this takes a little bit longer than we anticipate for him to return from this injury if they are adding those quarterbacks to that quarterback room.
And CeCe, I heard you when you went on with ESPN Cleveland with Emmett Golden and Gerard Cherry in the next level there, and you and Gerard, two former players, had the conversation about the idea of he doesn't need to rush back. He owns the franchise, he being Watson.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, is there a part of that you that goes there with this?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard not to, right? Because they owe him $128 million fully guaranteed over the next 3 years.
So, like, we're on my time now.
It's his timeline.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're Andrew Berry, if you're Kevin Stefanski, you don't get the benefit of the doubt because this is the decision that you made, which amounts to one of the worst trades in contracts in the history of the NFL. Like, that's how this deal will go down unless they win a championship, but it's hard to say that they're on that type of trajectory based on what we've seen from Watson. Ergo, his availability, but then also when he plays, not necessarily being his best. Again, one good half of football against the Baltimore Ravens. That's it. I'm old enough to remember the primetime game that they had early on in the season against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where the guy counted for 4 turnovers and 2 personal fouls. Yeah. Like it hasn't been a lot of good from Deshaun Watson, both in terms of what they got on the field and what they've had to deal with as an organization off the field with the criticism based on the baggage that Watson brought with him. So again, like this is a season where Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski's jobs are on the line, and it's crazy to say that about somebody that just won his second Coach of the Year award in the last 4 seasons. But that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at with the Cleveland Browns. Like, they have to get this done into the Deshaun Watson era. And if the quarterback ends up being the reason why the team can't break through after you invested $230 million, fully guaranteed, and 3 first-round draft picks, somebody deserves to be fired.
Yes, they do. Yeah, we always talk about the guaranteed money, the draft capital, also very important in all of this.
Yes.
You
Houston is still eating off of that.
Big time.
Wait, Houston, guys, the Dodgers have taken the lead. The Dodgers have taken the lead. We have the Dodgers on the money line here. The Dodgers have taken the lead 3-2. You're feeling a little bit better?
No, because okay. our parlay still went bust.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a 3-leg parlay, right? So why are we so excited?
Yeah, exactly.
The bet's already belly up, right?
Evan, how come you didn't just put money on the money line?
I should have, I guess, but I didn't.
Sad.
But I'm not gambling.
Yeah, he's not as much of a degenerate as I am.
Ooh, right through the glove. Literally, right through his glove.
Anyway, Dodgers-Padres Soul Series on ESPN right now. Dodgers were down 2-1. They have now taken the lead. Wait, there's a play.
It literally went right through his glove.
This guy's glove at first base is probably broken. Yes, there's a hole. This is unbelievable.
Kidding.
His glove is broke. He just had to switch gloves. There was a hole in the webbing of his glove, and the ball literally went through his glove. We're showing it now on ESPNU, or we just did. That was remarkable. Dodgers 3, Padres 2, top of the 8th, 1 out right now.
2 on
for the Dodgers. Sorry, Smalls, back to you.
That's okay. Yeah, Dodgers threatening. 2 on still to expand that lead there. My question with Deshaun Watson is this. When he returns and when he is healthy, what if he's playing and he's not good again?
Which is a real thing, right?
Well, they have about 7 other guys to put in now.
I understand, but because of the contract, you want to play him, right? And you want to give him the runway needed, I guess, in order to find himself. But you also don't have time to waste because you're a really talented football team that can't afford to give him this cushion period to recalibrate. So that is one thing I'm really looking at heading into this season is when Watson returns, if he's not good, what are the Cleveland Browns going to do?
It's very similar to the conversation we're having about the Jets with their window, right? Because that's kind of where the Cleveland Browns are. Like, they have a window with these young, talented players. I mean, you've got a window with Denzel Ward and with JOK and these guys. And, of course, Myles Garrett at the height of his powers. You're paying him. He's expensive. But, yeah, MJ Emerson, who's also on a rookie contract. Like, you've got a window with all of these pieces that you got on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
You got to capitalize on it. And here's the thing. It gets amped up even more now that you've traded for and paid Jerry Jeudy. You just gave him a contract.
Right.
Pretty nice three-year deal with, I think it's like $40 million in guaranteed money. Like, so, I mean, like, this is a situation now where this has got to work out. And if it doesn't, well, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, they're in the jackpot. Like, if I'm owner Jimmy Haslam, I'm looking at those dudes sideways if we can't get it done over the next couple of seasons. And the biggest question mark for this team is what you're going to get at quarterback. And again, they committed so many resources for that not to be a question.
Yeah.
And that's got to be the most maddening part if you're a Cleveland Browns fan.
Dodgers take a 4-2 lead, by the way.
5-2.
5-2, excuse me. Otani with a 2-run.
Listen, if you're going to give the play-by-play, you got to give the right score.
No, I think it's better if I give everything wrong. That's basically what's happening.
I got you.
Right,
don't
now.
Worry.
All right, Smalls, on you the rest of the way. Then you have to do this.
Dodgers take the lead 5-2, top of the 8th, 2-on, 1-out.
Okay. Are the Browns now the top team in the – oh, crap, we got this wrong – standings?
I think they have been.
Well,
no?
I'll throw out some other teams. Cardinals, what if Kyler's not good?
The Browns have way more invested in the Deshaun Watson situation.
Yeah. Jets, Rodgers.
They're on par.
They're right there tied. That contract for Deshaun was so involved, and they invested so much in him that I want to put them first. But the Jets built this whole thing around age.
Hey, can I ask
so
this question?
I got to ask this question.
Like, we already know it's an all-time bad move. Is this contract the biggest albatross in all of pro sports?
Without a doubt. You can't do anything Watson? With
it. Is the Watson contract the biggest albatross in all of sports? Because not only is it the money that they gave up, but it's the production that they're getting for it.
Exactly.
I'll go one step further, CeCe, to make your point. I mean, you made the point, but to add to the point.
I mean, Jacoby Ellsbury with the New York Yankees.
But that was bad?
That was bad. But that was the Ellsbury one was bad.
There is not a contract in sports that I can remember that impacted other contracts more than this one did. Lamar Jackson had a problem getting a guaranteed deal because of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I believe
every NFL player from here forward will have a problem because of Deshaun Watson's deal.
And that's why if you're going to say
– ruined it for everybody.
Right. Yeah. If you're going to say that, he's the only one that has had an impact on other contracts. – I don't believe any of the other contracts in all of sports had it like this.
Pat Mahomes, as good as he is, ain't going to get a guaranteed contract from the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right.
Because of Deshaun Watson.
Not in full like Watson did.
No.
Not in full. Wow. All right. People are watching this Soul Series. A lot of them bought tickets, and you can buy tickets to a lot of baseball games and all of the games out there thanks to Vivid Seats.
Yes. Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every dunk, every strikeout, every stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards. Like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase. From buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Whose Super Bowl party would you like to attend? Let's party! Who would you let babysit your kids?
We're just going to play with matches, run with scissors.
Or, oh yeah, who would you enjoy some pumpkin pie with? It's another edition of the ESPN Personality Draft on Unsportsmanlike.
All right, guys, we do it each and every Wednesday. We pick ESPN personalities. We draft them. We come up with a topic. With the NCAA tournament in full swing tomorrow, we are going to draft the top three ESPN personalities that we would want to watch all day tournament action with. And, of course, you can, by the way, be a part of the tournament challenge, of course, right, on the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. It's free. It's easy. You get up to 25 men's and 25 women's brackets. You can join, create groups, compete against men's and women's brackets against for all of your friends, family, as well as us, ESPN Radio personalities. The app also makes it easy to share your champion and final four picks across all social channels. All right, Smalls, kick us off. ESPN Personality Draft.
So the first person that I want to sit around for hours upon hours with and watch college basketball, maybe have a beverage or two, some snacks, talk about life, is somebody that I've actually hung out with in real life. And I know that they are guaranteed good hang. And that's our teammate right here at ESPN Radio, Ian Fitzsimmons. Coach is my number one pick.
Nice. Okay, so my number one pick, I'm going with Stanford Steve, the sidekick for SVP on SportsCenter Late Night. I need somebody that's going to help me do a deep dive on all of these teams that we haven't been watching or paying attention to throughout the regular season in college basketball. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Stanford Steve, he's the go-to guy when it comes to being able to, you know, go with the good bets, the bad beats, all of those different things. He can point me in the right direction in order to make some coin on these NCAA tournament games, because guess what? It adds to the fun when you got something on the line. And so Stanford Steve would be my number one pick.
So my first pick, or I got two here because we do a snake draft. My first one is going to be somebody that I could sit there and watch the men's tournament with or the women's tournament. She knows all the teams all across the board. ESPN basketball analyst Andrea Carter. Nice. That's where I'm going, number one.
And where I'm going second here is someone that I picked to win our ESPN Radio Bracket Challenge. He despises the fact that I picked him to win. It was not a bit. It was not to try to set him up. It was because I think he knows a lot about college basketball. Why? Because he covers it. Sorry, Myron Metcalf. I'm picking you on this one, too. So I go Andrea Carter and Myron Metcalf.
Okay.
CC, your second pick.
So my second pick, I'm going with somebody that knows the men's game and the women's game inside out all the way through, and that would be our resident coach and college basketball analyst, Carolyn Peck. I mean, she won a national championship as a coach. She was also a player. She won Coach of the Year. She does a great job being able to break it all down and help me to understand it, the different trends, the different teams to watch, to look out for. So the other part of this why I want Coach Peck is because I want her to get me fired up for the games.
Love that.
And I know she can have that delivery. She's going to get me, you know, really engrossed into watching the March Madness games. Like, she's going to be able to motivate. Like, I just want that sense of I'm in it with all of these other teams, and Coach Peck gives you that when she talks about college basketball.
I love that pick. Good job, CeCe. In that same vein, I want somebody that's going to be able to break it down for me in a fun and entertaining way, regardless of which team we're watching. So Monica McNutt, pull up a chair. You're hanging out with me and Ian Fitzsimmons. We are watching the tournament together. And then to round out my top three, again, this is somebody that we are going to be talking to for hours. I want somebody who I know is a sports fan, who's going to have a great time, but also I could pick their brain a little bit now that we have access to them for a few hours. So Buster Olney, friend of the show, he is going to be my final pick. MLB analyst, but he's coming to watch basketball with me.
All right, so my final pick when we originally did this was Matt Barry, and I guess I have to stay with it because we've already made the picks, but I feel like I had a glaring omission, and I was reminded of that by Nuno and Pat Costello. How could I not choose Jay Williams? Our predecessor here on the morning show on ESPN, Jay Will. I mean, this guy is awesome. I mean, he's a great player, player of the year, won a national championship. Like, how could I not pick Jay Will as a part of my March Madness hangout to watch the game?
So wait, are you changing your list?
Wait, what just happened here?
I'm not changing the list, but I'm just saying if I had it to do it again, it would be Jay Williams. I mean, here's the thing. If I had Jay Williams as a part of my March Madness hang to watch the games, we might actually be going to the games because we know Jay Will uses a private jet like most of us use Uber. So, I mean, I would love to just watch the NCAA tournament games with our guys.
Oh,
Jay
and
Will.
You're going to have courtside seats,
oh,
too.
No doubt,
Jay
no
Will's
doubt,
connected.
No doubt.
So, you're saying you should have picked Jay Will.
Yeah, I'm saying Jay Will is going to big time Matt Barry on my list.
Well, but then you shouldn't have picked Matt Barry? Is that what you're saying?
I should have picked Jay Will, not Matt Barry.
Oof.
Made a mistake.
That's rough.
It's not rough. I'm sorry, man. Who doesn't like a ride on a private jet?
I've never had one, but I would love it.
I got two more if you want them.
Well, do you want me to go last or no?
Oh, I thought you picked already.
No.
Eh.
But go ahead, Pat.
No, go ahead. You first.
No, I'm fine.
You first. Go
okay,
ahead.
All right. I'm going to go with George Sedano, ESPN, NBA. He is ESPN LA. He is somebody I've spent 12 hours with many of times, going to huge games with him all the time. I'm going Sedano. So I got Andrea Carter, Myron Metcalf, and Sedano. CeCe has Stanford Steve, Carolyn Peck, Matt Barry, and Jay Williams. In Smalls has Ian Fitzsimmons, Myron Metcalf. I'm sorry, Monica McNutt, and Buster Olney. Pat.
Yeah, I think we missed Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird.
Oh, yeah.
You ever see them hanging out watching games? That seems like a great time.
Yeah. Okay, I got to be honest. When they do, in essence, their version of the Manning cast, it's hysterical. And they are such trash talkers, and it's awesome. I don't know that I've looked at them as ESPN employees versus,
agreed,
like, one-off opportunities for ESPN. But yet, like, they would be ridiculous. They are so funny, and they're such good trash talkers.
Totally.
That's a great one. Or those are great ones, I should say. But I don't know that we look at them as ESPN employees all across the board. Right?
They are.
Yeah. Oh, if they are, then that's a very good one. Other ones that we missed. Pat, Nuno, Javonte, hello?
Joe Fortenball.
I've already picked Joe, so I couldn't add him to the list.
I think Joe's
off. Did we miss Joe?
If
you don't think so?
Joe, it'd be you missing Joe, because I think we both picked Joe.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he tried to hit me with a car when I was in Bristol. I was literally walking in. He was like driving, and like he like swerved out of the
How
way.
Have
and
we
I'm
not
like,
discussed this before?
Oh, we have. Oh, we've okay. brought it up. But yeah, he tried to hit me with a car.
I feel like that's not the first time that's happened to you.
Stephen A. Well, I was walking on the street in the city. This is true. Yeah. Well, I've been hit by a car, but this is not hit by a car. Yeah. Stephen A. I didn't know at the time. So I'm walking on the street of the city. All of a sudden, I see a black SUV coming at me as I'm on the sidewalk, and I like jump back. No joke. He rolls down the window. I realized that's Stephen A. And he goes, "Ha ha!" And then keeps driving.
Oh, what? I would have fell in the middle of the street. Stephen A. That's Stephen A. Oh,
well, I was stunned. He recognized me.
My leg.
my neck. My back. My neck and my back.
Awesome. Oh, wait awesome. A minute. You would have faked the injury to get the lawsuit from Stephen A.
Stephen A.
I want $500,000. But we can sell out of court right now.
That's private jet rides for life right there.
And Canty, by the way, Michelle has picked for him, but you have not picked for him.
Oh, I haven't?
All right. Okay. No, you haven't.
I knew I had. Okay. Or else he would certainly be.
Well, now CeCe's adding a fifth person to his list.
No, he used to get hit in the head for a living, so things get a little fuzzy sometimes.
Wow. Fair. He's in
stall me out. Give me a break.
So we have Stanford Steve, Carolyn Peck, Matt Barry, Jay Williams.
Matt Barry / Jay Williams.
And now Joe Fortenbaugh. So in a three-person draft, CeCe picks five people.
Exactly.
I feel like it's CeCe's way of saying, you know, we just need to, when we do this next week, just reopen the pool.
Oh, we're reopening the pool?
Yeah, we'll reopen the pool next week.
I love that idea.
I like that. It's about time.
Okay. We're going to reopen the pool next week. So everybody is now available to be picked. Starting next week, we're going back. We're reopening the pool with our ESPN draft. I want to be careful on this. I believe the score right now is 5-2.
5-2, top of the ninth.
Okay. So there we go. Dodgers leading the Padres in the Soul Series, airing right now on ESPN. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.